So as we talked about, the academic year just ended for most of the students at Southern Oregon University. The ones coming back in the fall will find the next one more expensive. Tuition is rising once again at SOU. The university, in looking at its own budget and the potential support from the state legislature, was forced to consider a range of options that included increases well into the double digits. It avoided that by a tenth of a percent. 9.9 is the planned tuition hike at SOU. Let's talk about what went into that number with Southern Oregon University President Linda Schott here in the studio with me. President Schott, good to see you once again.
Good morning.
So when last we talked, you were looking at a tuition hike of up to 15%. What averted that figure?
The state did increase the amount that it allocated to the Public University Support Fund. That's the fund that supports all seven public universities. So because they were able to increase that, then we were able to reduce the tuition increase.
We talked last time about the Tuition Advisory Council at SOU, plus the SOU Board of Trustees certainly both weighed in. How valuable was that input?
Well, it's extremely valuable. The Tuition Advisory Council consists of four students and two faculty and two administrative staff, and then there are a group of people who support them, helping to understand the budget. They made the difficult decision that they recommended to me the 13.5% increase if the PUSF did not get increased. And they did that because the students would rather pay a little bit more in tuition than see the university have to reduce its operations in some way. And that's the position that we're in. We have rising costs for PERS, healthcare, energy. Our insurance just went up significantly. That's happening across the state. And I know that here in Ashland, other institutions are dealing with it because we're now in a fire zone.
Ah.
So insurance rates, I think, are about tripling for SOU. So things like that that we have no control over are all increasing. And the only sources of revenue we have are either state funding or tuition and fees. So depending on how much state funding we get, we have to cover those costs some way. We did reduce our expenses this year about $1.3 million by not filling some positions, by reducing the spending on travel, on supplies, and other services. There's a lot of business efficiencies that we've undertaken, but we can only do so much. So all of that went into the Tuition Advisory Council's decision to recommend a tuition increase. When that came to me, I knew there was a lot of change at the legislature, so I didn't want to have the board just approve a 13.5%. So we did a graduated scale. For every 20 million that went into the additional funds into the Public University Support Fund, we could scale back our tuition by a percentage or two. It's not a direct correlation for a lot of complicated reasons, but when the legislature increased it by an extra 100 million, then we were able to scale it down in the way that we did.
Is there some psychology involved in going for a figure of 9.9% and at least being that much short of going into double digits?
Actually, that was not us. That was the HEC. We went at 10%. Yes, mm-hmm. That was the and the reason is not for marketing. Mm-hmm. It is because overall the cost of attendance at SOU is only going up 4.01%, I believe. We are able, for students who live on campus and eat on campus, we've kept the housing increase very, very minimal, and we've actually started providing a lower-cost food plan. A lot of students don't eat three meals a day, so we're providing one that provides like 15 meals a week. So with those changes, the cost of attendance overall increase is lower, and when they factored all that in, so the 9.9 is a result of the tuition increase plus increases to student fees that are recommended by the students and some mandatory fees. That's where the 9.9 came from.
So it's 9.9 for the coming academic year. How about the one after, the 2020-2021 academic year?
Our financial modeling allows us to look at what we anticipate will happen in the next year or the next year. We look into the next biennium. But, of course, there's so many variables that we can't control. One of the main ones will be enrollment. Right now, if our model is correct and we're modeling on an enrollment being down just slightly, like 0.5%, next year we're looking at an increase that would be more in the 4% range. But as I said, I don't want to commit to that because there's a lot could happen. If enrollment's up, we may be able to go lower than that. If enrollment's not, then you know, we don't know, but we pretty much committed that we will be under 5% next year.
Linda Schott, the president of Southern Oregon University, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, as we talk about the 9.9% tuition hike for next academic year on campus. Conversation is open to you to join, 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So the reason you had to go before the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, the HEC, is because anything over 5%, is it, has to go to them?
Yes.
Okay. So you were certainly over that. Now, I noticed that it looks like of the seven state universities, only four actually did increases in tuition. And so obviously SOU the highest at 9.9, University of Oregon 6.9, Portland State almost 5%, 4.97, Western Oregon at 2.33. So how do Oregon State, OIT, and Eastern Oregon manage to not raise tuition? They're faced with a lot of the same issues.
OIT was in front of the HEC and is raising tuition more than 5%. I think theirs was somewhere over 6%.
Okay.
So for the schools who are not, Oregon State University has sources of funds that we don't have. They get grant support. There's a lot of other kinds of funding that they get, and they have been able to stay below 5%. Western Oregon is much more similar to us. Their president was very clear that they could do this for this year, but they will have increases next year. They had a unique tuition model where students had the option of setting a rate when they come in the first year and paying that same rate all 4 years. To do that, the board had to set aside a bunch of money, and they have decided to end that program. So the board was able to use that money to offset their rising costs for this 1 year. So they had a special circumstance. Eastern Oregon gets significantly more state funding than SOU does, so they also have been able to keep their tuition increases lower. And that is a function of funding formula that was put in place 5 years ago or so, it continues to benefit them and their students. Their students contribute about 40% of the cost of the university. At SOU, our students are having to contribute about 60% of the cost of running our university. That is a problem that we really want to address. We've talked about it with our local legislators, Representative Marsh, Senator Golden. They understand this well. And I think the legislature is beginning to understand it. So we're very hopeful that the legislature will take a deep look at how higher education is funded, and particularly how the regional campuses are funded.
How do you approach that without it becoming a school versus school sort of thing? I mean, this is obviously the breakup of what was the higher education system in Oregon into separate campuses, separate boards of trustees, predates your time at SOU. But it seems like that could turn into a very polite, I'm sure, but still a discussion of like, you know, well, how come they get more than we get? That kind of thing.
It is a very difficult conversation to have. I think we talk about what is the funding model and is it equitable? The Higher Education Coordinating Committee is focused on student success and on increasing equity, providing better opportunities for low-income and previously underrepresented learners in the state of Oregon. So we need a funding model that is true to those principles. The kind of funding model that Oregon has now, which is an outcomes-based funding formula, is common across the United States. They've been growing in popularity since the 1990s. and really became increasingly popular after the Great Recession. So there are principles out there. There is research out there to show what formulas work best to achieve the goals that the state wants. So that is where I would take the discussion, try to make it evidence-based, try to tie it to state goals, and recognize the importance of regional institutions to regional economies. SOU is very important to producing the employees that employers in this region need. We also are one of the largest employers, so we're very important to the economic health, and I think the state needs to look at that as well.
When you get into discussions of tuition, I wonder if you bring in economists, marketing people, anything like that, to get into the idea of equilibrium pricing, which I still remember from Econ 51 at the University of Missouri, where you can drop the price a little, but you get more people to take you up on it. Therefore, you actually make a little more money at a lower price. Is that, you ever look at those very carefully?
We don't have the ability to do that, but we do look at the pricing of our competitors. For example, we get about 30% of our students from California. And so we look very carefully at where the Cal State University system is setting their prices. We don't worry about the University of California because students who are going there probably wouldn't be coming here. But we do try to be competitive with the Cal State University system. And, of course, we look at the other public universities in Oregon. I do want to clarify that even though our tuition increase was the highest percentage, our actual tuition is still in the middle of the pack. So if you look at the regional serving institutions, we will be more than Eastern for the reasons that I've discussed. We'll be a little bit more than Western now for the reasons I've discussed. We will be very similar to OIT and will actually be, I'm sorry, we'll be very similar to Portland State and we'll be a little less than Oregon Tech and the Cascades campus of Oregon State University, which is the highest of the regional serving. So it's important to put it in that context. Yes, we're increasing, but we're still not as expensive as many of the other institutions.
But at this rate, if you have to keep doing this, will you get as expensive as the most expensive schools?
What we have to do is address the state funding formula. Right now, I'm increasingly convinced it is not equitable to our students. It's not fair to our region. And I'm going to spend time this summer learning a lot more about this so that I can be an even more effective advocate. The other thing on the pricing is that we've looked at our enrollment, and 2 years ago we had a pretty large increase at 9%. We actually went, our enrollment went up by 2.5% that fall. Last year, our tuition increase was much more moderate at about 4%, and in enrollment went down. So we don't see a direct correlation. Finally, I would like to take the opportunity to remind parents, families, students, anybody who's listening, that we are putting aside additional money for financial aid. So any student who is worried that they either can't afford to come here or that they can't afford to finish, please come and talk to us. Go to our financial aid office, and we will try our very best to provide additional aid to make sure that students are able. We know they've made an investment. We want them to be able to finish that education and get the return on that investment.
Linda Schott is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the president of Southern Oregon University. We're talking about the tuition hike for next year. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a question from John in Eugene via email. Theoretically, a system of higher education could bring efficiencies by making sure that redundancies are kept to a minimum, pursuing group purchases, et cetera. Is Oregon achieving this some other way now that we have no chancellor's office? This again from John in Eugene.
Great question, John. In fact, when the system went away, we did keep a shared services center, and several of the universities are still participating in that to try to get the economies of scale. Here in Southern Oregon, we've created the Southern Oregon Higher Education Consortium, and we are looking at exactly those kinds of questions to see if there's a way that we can leverage purchasing, share training, anything we can think of that might help us use the funds that we do get more efficiently.
And that's with Rogue Community College, Klamath Community College, and Oregon Institute of Technology.
And we're also working with entities here in Ashland to see if there are ways we've got projects developing right now with the city of Ashland, with the Ashland Chamber, with the hospital, with the school district, with the Shakespeare Festival. And it's really just getting people together to say, look, we're all kind of strapped for money. So what can we do better together?
So, President Schott, is there a concern that the opportunity to get more state funding into higher education that kept the tuition increase under 10%, that could fall apart? Because it seems like the state was able to do this because it's got a new funding source for K-12 education with the new business tax. If that goes to the ballot, which is almost assured in January, and loses, then it seems like the pressure is going to be on to put more money into K-12 and less into higher education. That does loom as a possibility, doesn't it?
You just gave me something else to worry about, Jeff.
Sorry.
Right now, we feel like we have a firm commitment for the coming biennium. We will see what happens next year. It's a very difficult way to run an institution of this size to not have a more sure sense of what your funding is going to be. But we will adjust as we have to. There's also, you know, some talk about making some changes to the public employee retirement system. We want to make sure that our employees are treated fairly. But if there is any way to get a handle on that, that may help control some of our costs, because those are very significant increases for our institution.
You have worked in other states, and I wonder how the budgeting process in Oregon compares with those. Is this unique in its biannual tensions?
Every state is unique, but every state is dealing with similar issues. I'm actually very hopeful that the conversation at the federal level about free college or about increased support, pay off student loans, every Democratic candidate has some platform position around better support for higher education. So it feels to me like the national conversation is changing. Back in the 60s and 70s, higher ed was definitely seen as a public good. Then it began to swing in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s to education is something that benefits the individual, thus the individual should pay for it. I feel now that at least among the Democratic candidates, the belief that higher education does benefit our whole society, it benefits our employers, that is gaining credence. And that may then, depending on what happens in the 2020 election, change the federal scene in a way that would free up some pressure on the state.
All right, so we're looking at a 9.9% tuition increase for Southern Oregon University for next year. You'll talk about the year after when that opportunity comes. So, but you're saying, though, that with other adjustments, the cost of attendance at just a little over 4%. What is the annual cost of, you know, on campus, full load of credits?
It's really hard to tell you one number because it depends on whether you're living in the dorm, what dorm you're living in, what meal plan you have. Basic cost of tuition and alone is around $9,000. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's about $20,000 if you wrap, a little over $20,000, $22,000, $23,000 if you're all inclusive in the best dorm. And,
okay.
And then if you're out of state, of course, it's more.
Linda Schott, president of Southern Oregon University. Thank you so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you.